You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week on The Green Desk, Mitchell speaks to Auckland Council's water manager Andrew Chin about Auckland's Lake Pupeke. There are concerns regarding a potential toxic algae bloom in Lake Pupeke, which could have serious implications for the health of the lake, its users and its biodiversity. The Auckland Council have recently applied for a resource consent to place flocculants, what's a flocculant, in Lake Pupeke in case a toxic algae bloom does occur. Mitchell begins by asking Mr. Chin about toxic algae blooms, what they are and how they form.
A toxic algal bloom is one where the algal species is dominated by blue-green algae or cyanobacteria, and that type of algae has toxins in it which can, you know, basically make people ill. It can give you diarrhea or gastroenteritis, and it can also make dogs and other animals sick as well.
So does that mean, I'm not sure if there is aquatic life in Pupeke at the moment, but does that mean it's all going pretty much?
Well, no, so at the moment there's an algal bloom happening in Lake Pupeke, but it's not a toxic algal bloom.
Okay.
It's a different species that's dominating, but the problem is that in the warm weather, the lake, what we call stratifies, all the warm water accumulates at the top and the cold water sinks to the bottom. And then the cold water at the bottom of the lake starts to go anoxic or starved of oxygen. And in those conditions, more nutrients are released from the sediments, which then increases the risk of more algal bloom. And there's another thing happening is the algal bloom blocks the sunlight on the surface.
Of course.
So the big plants, like the eelgrass, start to die because they don't get enough sunlight. They die, float to the surface, start to rot and add to the nutrients. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle.
Sounds like it. So how much more of a rise are we going to need, or like not going to need, but is it going to take for this toxic algal bloom to take shape?
Look, it's not necessarily related to the temperature. What we're just seeing is the risk factors start to increase. Whether or not the cyanobacteria starts to bloom or not, it's anyone's guess.
Right.
Monitoring it and checking. We could be lucky in the conditions, even though if it gets hotter, cyanobacteria might not start to dominate, but we just have to keep a very close eye on it.
I mean, does the fact that it's an urban lake with, you know, humans around it, human activity happening, is that having an effect on it? Is any of those kind of activities having an impact on it as well as temperature?
Well, obviously, there's the urban runoff contains a lot of toxins, but to be honest, it's probably not as nutrient-loaded as rural runoff. You know, the types of algal blooms that we're seeing are happening sort of down south in the Waikato near Pekafora, Taumutu at the moment. But Lake Pupeke, we're sort of lucky that it's a very big and deep lake, and so there's a lot of water in there. So we've been quite lucky that we haven't had a cyanobacteria bloom in Lake Pupeke yet.
Right. And for those other places, you were talking about the Waikato and stuff,
yep.
Has there been any mitigation? Is there a way to remedy this once it's happened?
Oh, yes, there are a number of interventions that you can do. So, for example, in some locations, they try to stop that stratification happening. They aerate the lake to get it mixing so you don't have those anoxic conditions at the bottom. Another, and obviously, like in around the Bay of Plenty, Rotorua, there's long-term interventions to try and minimise the amount of nutrient that runs off from agricultural land uses. So that's a huge program and a long-term program to try and better control the land uses so that you don't get the phosphorus and the nitrogen coming off and coming into the freshwater body.
Right. And I saw now, Pupeke, you guys are wanting to put in flocculants. What actually is a flocculant? What's it actually going to achieve for Pupeke?
Okay, so it's a precautionary measure that will hold off only if there is a cyanobacteria bloom. So what a flocculant does, and a lot of people will be familiar with this if they've got a swimming pool. If your swimming pool's cloudy, you'll often add a flocculant that'll cause all of the fine particles to flock together, and then they sink, and the lake becomes clearer at the surface. So essentially, if we get a cyanobacteria outbreak, one of the things that we could do is add the flocculant to cause all of those microscopic algae to flock together and then sink to the bottom.
So
clarifying the lake, if you like.
Yeah, so that's just, so that's not no form of like actual remediation. That's just like a sort of short term.
It's treating a symptom. It's not treating the cause.
Right, and just going back to Waikato and stuff. What those other places that have had these algal blooms? What has it meant for sort of everything in there? Has there been a drop off in all life and things like that? And
it does look at algal blooms definitely upset the ecosystem of the lake. You start to get a dominance of one species. You can get the fish and other life in the lake being affected. So you've got the lakes that were recently listed by the Waikato Regional Council were Lake Naroto and Te Awamutu, Waikere and Takawhara, and Whangate and Huntly.
Yeah.
And the key thing is, under the water quality, when you get those algal blooms, you've got to put up swimming notices and warn people not to swim in the lake. And of course, we know that Lake Te Puke is a very popular recreational lake, so that's why we want to keep it really close to Hana.
Do you think that, obviously there's different scenarios for this, but if it was to take a turn for the worse, it would potentially, you'd have to cordon it off kind of thing?
It's monitored by our Safe Swim website, so we'd put up the warning signs. We wouldn't be able to fence it off, if you like. It's not practical, but we'd definitely change the notices on the Safe Swim website and warn people about the risk. But it's not there yet, and it's not where, and it may not happen. We're just trying to give everyone some early warning that the risk factors are increasing and it may happen.
Of course, yeah. So just one question. Is there any possible way that, you know, locals and people who use it can do things to sort of help it?
Well, it's a very complex problem. For locals, it's probably watching what you put down the drain. It's not a very large catchment, but obviously the lot of suburban gardens, so you don't want people overusing or putting fertiliser in particular down their drain.
Yep.
But if there's a Lake Pukia complex, there's been introduced pest species, perch in particular, that in their juvenile state have been eating a lot of the plants and upsetting the natural balance. So we really want the right plants in the lake to minimise the amount of nutrients, and so to get a domination of those small microscopic floating algae that block the sunlight, that exacerbates the problem.
Okay. So do you think, if it, say it was to continue the way it is going now, is there sort of a time frame or a time limit on like when it would maybe become unsafe? Say there was no mitigation that happens?
You couldn't put a time limit whether it turns. So like I say, the conditions are right for an algal bloom. There is an algal bloom there at the moment. It's just not a toxic algal bloom.
Okay.
So whether or not it shifts to a different species is really what we're keeping an eye on.
Right. No, thank you for that. That's about all the questions I've got. Did you want to add anything else yourself?
Probably, yeah. Auckland Council's going to be launching a discussion document in February around all the water issues and water quality in particular. It's starting a development of a water strategy for Auckland. So it's not just Lake Te Puke, obviously, but we've got our harbours, beaches, our aquifers and marine areas that we've... There's a lot of concern about our water quality and the amount of water available to use for irrigation and the like. So over the months of February and March, this discussion document will be published and made public, and we really encourage people to have a look and put your feedback if it's an issue that they find dear to their hearts.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.